Mrs. Mike Crane interviewing MFS. She was born May 27th, 1898. The date today, January 2nd, 1990. Time,
2 o'clock.
Purpose of interview, term paper on history of drug abuse. The use of drugs when you were a child.
Well, as a child, I didn't know much about it. After I worked at the drugstore. But then I had to be, to fill prescriptions. And I had to work 4 years with the pharmacist before I went to school. And so that's where I learned it was there, how doses and what uses and things. And then in 1920, I went to pharmacy school, where at the Practical Institute of Pharmacy at Sandusky. And there we learned, of course, about all the drugs and its uses and incompatibilities and the danger of them.
Okay.
And of course, there was a lot of things today that wasn't those days. Many things. Many different kinds of drugs have been put on the market, much more than there was at that time.
Okay. What, if any, do you think was the most common drug problem in this area at that time?
What was what?
What, if any, do you think was the most common drug problem in the area, if there was one?
Drug problems.
Yeah, drug problem. Well, there was no drug problem with young people. And there was very little that ever anybody was addicted, because the doctors were... The only time anyone was addicted to drugs at that time is through a long sickness. And then the people got addicted to it, not because they wanted to, but because they just naturally did. And those days, they didn't know probably how to get them off from it like they would today. But there were very few people that ever were, as I said, only through sickness. And then they weren't young people, they were usually more middle-aged people or long there because of sickness.
Why did you choose being a pharmacist as your career?
What was that?
Why did you choose being a pharmacist as your career?
Well, I worked for Mr. Smith, and he just encouraged me to go on, to finish.
Who was Mr. Smith?
Roy Smith's drugstore, Roy T. Smith. It's where Rick
Family Pharmacy is now. He was the proprietor of the drugstore at the time when she worked there.
What was some of your duties there? What did you have to do there?
What did you have to do? What were your job?
At the store?
Yeah.
Well, you waited on customers, but you learned of drugs, and the use of them and what it was for, and that, but you'd done all the work, any waiting on trade or any work that was to be done in the store.
Tell them about mixing up the drugs.
Oh, yes. Those days you didn't come prepared like you do today. You mixed your powders, sometimes 4 or 5 together, and then divided them into little powders. You'd weigh one to be sure and get the right amount. Then you'd put them on these little pieces of paper and fold them. And so those were individual doses. Or your cough syrups would probably have half a dozen varieties of things, of drugs in them. And you mixed all those. And you filled your capsules. They were not, didn't come from the drug house filled. You filled capsules from 1 grain up to 3 grains. And you had to mix all those things together. And now all those things are prepared. And of course, tablets, naturally they were. You never made those, but other are your ointments. You'd mix them together. Three, four articles together to make an ointment. And today, most of those things are all prepared.
As time progressed, what do you think caused people to try new drugs? As time progressed, as times changed.
What's that?
As times changed, what caused people to try new drugs? What do you feel caused it?
Now you are talking about the abuse of drugs?
Yeah.
What made them, what do you think would make people want to experiment with drugs? You know, I mean, the addiction or the abuse?
I can't understand why they would want to, except for their own excitement. Because it would be no object in wanting to, because it gives you, some drugs give you a numb feeling or a desire for to be mean or something, and why would anyone want to? I can't understand. Because it would be no advantage in any way at all. Except they say they feel high, but I don't know why even that would be of any advantage to anybody.
What can you tell me about the misconception of prescription drugs, the use of doctors? You know, doctors giving prescriptions, not necessarily for drug, you know, medical purposes. Was there anything like that that happened?
Well, no, doctors were very accurate about them, and if they did accidentally make a mistake, we pharmacists were supposed to catch it, and then you call them and ask them if that was what they really intended, you know, in the prescription. But that didn't happen very often, because even your doctors, I don't know, I'm sure they are today too, but I mean they were. It isn't very often there was a mistake.
You might also tell him about if somebody did become addicted, they had prescriptions to continue their medicine.
That's right. That was true. After they were addicted, the doctors would write prescriptions. But the people themselves would know very well how to control it and not try to overdo, you know what I mean? They would make it go as far as they could. And the drugstore or the pharmacist, we never filled a narcotic prescription for anyone unless we knew the person or knew the doctor that wrote it. Otherwise, if anyone came in with a prescription, we just said we didn't carry the product.
How often did that happen?
Very seldom. That didn't happen very, very, not very often at all. But I mean, if they did, that was our rules not to fill it unless we knew them.
What role did magazines or the press play in the spreading of pros of drugs, the pros of drugs?
The press. Writing, do you think that they added to the spread of drugs? The news media.
Well, the news media has been to blame for a lot of things, I think, too. They, too. It's their ads of some of the things that would probably induce to try to something. But those days, too, those things were not on. And there wasn't televisions and things those days to advertise any of those things. You know, there were no such a thing as a television. Or even radios at that time, you know, never had very much advertising.
Okay. In your opinion, what was the general climate or the feeling about drugs at that time?
What was that?
How did people feel about drugs at that time? What was there?
Everybody just trusted, you know, the doctor and the pharmacist. People never found, there was no such, that we never heard of such a thing as somebody suing you for something, because there wasn't anything like that. Nobody encouraged them for anything like that.
Okay.
People respected it.
Yes.
For what it was for, I think, is what.
Okay. How did drug use change as you got older? How did it, you know, the use of drugs, you know, the biggest changes as you got older, you noticed?
Got over of the use of drugs?
As you got older, the changing in the use of drugs, how did you notice it?
Oh, well, there were so many more different kinds of drugs onto the market than there was at that time. The doctor would have his own prescription, what he prescribed for colds and flu, or what they call the colds and the flu. Each one had their own kind that they prescribed. And there wasn't a variety, there was no such a thing as antibiotics, or not the variety of stuff.
You had also said that you never heard of marijuana, and what else? What were the two painkillers that would be most likely?
Highly used at that time?
Yeah.
The painkillers was morphine and codeine. Then there was no such thing as marijuana, or even your, what's the one that comes from much now, from China?
Cocaine.
Cocaine, yes, it was on the market, but seldom used. It was nothing like, you know, today that people, well, they just were not using those things. The young people are old people. Nobody was using those things. As I said, they were only addicted through a sickness. So a lot of those things were not on the market.
Okay. Describe the average newspaper of the time, you know, describing drugs and like that, promoting the drugs, articles about drugs, you know.
Did the newspapers carry articles about drugs and the addiction of it and stuff? Did they talk about it?
No, you didn't hear about it.
Okay, describe the schooling that you went through to become a pharmacist.
Your schooling that you went through to become a pharmacist, describe it.
Well, that was, as I said, where I went, you had to have 4 years of experience in a drugstore and equivalent to 10th grade in high school. And we learned nothing but drugs. We didn't learn any salesmanship or window trimming or anything along that line. It was just drugs and the incompatibilities and the general use of drugs in prescription work. And that was why we had to have our experience before. And you wrote your state exam. And if you didn't pass, of course, you had to write again. But at this school, you could go back, even if you had to go back two or three times. You paid your tuition once. But that school, of course, is closed quite a few years ago.
You went to school 6 days a week?
6 days a week.
How many hours a day?
You went to from 8 in the morning until in the afternoon, until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
When did it close, the school?
When did that school close?
Yeah.
Well, when they changed the laws that you had to go to college for 4 years, I think they changed it. And that is when that school closed. Not for any other reason, it's simply because they were not prepared for that kind of study. As I say, there was several in the class that I went that had gone to other colleges for a couple of years even and said, well, they learned more in 3 months there than they did in 2 years because we learned nothing but drugs. As I say, there was nothing connected with it. As salesmanship, case decorating or window decorating, nothing like that.
Okay, describe the curriculum you had to go through. The curriculum?
What subjects did you have? What subjects did you study?
In there? Yeah. Well, prescriptions, incompatibilities, and dosage, and well, just naturally all about drugs. But I mean, no other outside subjects.
You had to learn the weights and to mix all these things.
Yes, we had to learn all that. Well, we had to mix them, you know, we had to learn them while they were there.
Okay, describe the era of time when you first entered the workforce as a pharmacist.
What was times like when you first became a pharmacist, like in town?
Well, for one thing, we worked every day in the week and your drugstores were open every day, Sunday and all, and nights. And so we worked longer hours. But we, no one complained because we were glad we had a job. And the, naturally, you didn't work, we didn't work by the hour, we worked by the job for so much a week, regardless of the hours we worked.
And your wages?
Yeah, the wages.
Well, what were they?
The highest paid wage, well, after I had my papers, or diploma, then it was $25 a week. Before that, we worked for $20 a week. If you worked now and then just to help our work for that, then you had your pay was a little better. But if you worked a steady job, and I got as much for the week in Chesning as what my roommate did in Detroit. That was $25 a week.
And did you work 7 days a week? You had some time off, didn't you?
Well, if I worked nights, I went to work, but we went to work at 7 in the morning. But if we worked nights, we went to work at 8. And you worked every other Sunday, and we closed at night when we thought there was no more business. It wasn't any particular time. If it was a bad night, if it was stormy and that, you closed earlier. But if it was, you know, it just depended on what business you had.
Describe the most common drug prescribed at that time for illnesses.
What was the most common drug prescribed at that time for illnesses?
Well, they used to use quinine a lot for colds or the flu, and aspirin was always used. And as I say, there were medicines that were mixed together, like your cough syrups would be syrup of different things that were ferment for, to, you know, for a cure for that one. I can't just exactly say what all they were, but they were, like I said, a half a dozen probably different kinds of syrups mixed together to make, you know, for a cough syrup. They'd use paregoric and menthol, and syrup of white pine. And then there was a Hill's cold compound that was recommended a lot for colds, that people would take for colds. People relied a lot more on patent medicines those days than they do now. At least I don't think they sell as many now.
And it'd be over-the-counter drugs more.
Okay. What did you think when mail order catalogs started selling drug packs? Are you familiar with that?
Well, I wouldn't have any idea how they could, you know, but they do. Of course, as I say, most medicines today are compounded at the drug house. And so I suppose, they can get their orders there too, as well as the, because at the time when I worked at that time, you bought drugs only at a drugstore. Now you buy them at most any kind of store. That is what I call patent medicines, you know, prepared drugs. You can buy most any kind, except prescription drugs you can't. But any others you can buy at most any place.
What she's saying is grocery stores didn't carry them, or variety stores like they do, like Kmart and things like that. Those places didn't carry them at all. You could just get it at drugstores. The one thing would be wrong with the ordering your medicine. You wouldn't know what was compatible with what you were already taking.
No, and people did do that. And people, if you did not watch them or keep track of them, people would go to more than one doctor and try and be taking medication from more than one doctor. They just didn't have any idea what drugs would do, you know, mixing. But you would remember, you filled a prescription form and then you would ask them, well, now certainly you're not taking two things, well, why not? They thought, well, the two would have to do more good than the one. It's surprising how many people would do that if you didn't keep track of it.
Okay. Why do you think it took people so long to start realizing the downs of drugs? Why do you think it took so long for people to realize the downs of drugs? You know, the bad things about drugs. Why did you think it took so long? It took so long.
Well, I don't know why they would, like I say, you would trust your doctor, and why they would want to try drugs, you mean?
Yeah.
Why do you think it took so long for people to start realizing the bad things about drugs and start, you know, to wake up?
Like today, why do you think it took them so long to get around to find out that it's not good for you?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't figure out either, because after all, people, well, they were just, as I said, they didn't try those things. They just trusted their doctor for what he was giving.
Yeah, but he means now. Why did it take them so long now to think about, before they realized what they were doing to themselves?
Oh, I don't know. I can't understand that. Why the young people today would want to even try drugs. It sure doesn't make them feel, they think it makes them feel good, but I don't see how it could. As I said, it numbs. Some kinds will numb your body, or why they would want to try it even. But I think they have just too much time for themselves, the young people, and because of not having jobs or not working and doing things, and they just congregate together, and one will dare the other one to take them or something, and why they would, I don't know.
Okay. Describe the cost of the or tuition for your school.
How much did it cost you to go to school? The cost of the tuition to go to school.
Let's see, there was 3 months. I think it was $500 tuition. But that was, like I said, that was for all the time. Even if you had to go back two or three times, you paid your tuition once. I'm not exactly sure of that, but I think I remember right, it was $500. Rewarded at private homes, regardless of where you stayed, it was $10 a week.
Okay, that's all my questions. Can you think of anything, you know, anything more you want to talk about? I mean,
he says he doesn't have any more questions written down. Is there anything else you would like to tell him? What were the things that a doctor prescribed for an illness or an accident that people did become addicted to? What drugs were those?
Well, there was only three people that I actually knew. That were, and one was morphine, the two were morphine, and one was opium. The opium was a powder, and this one man, as I said, this was all through sickness that they got this, and the weather was bad, and he could not get to town to get his prescription filled. And when he did finally get there, because of the roads and things, he was just shaking all over and perspiring because it, this morph or opium had been worked out of his system, you see, and he just lacked that. But it was pitiful to see. You know, you feel sorry for somebody like that. But I never seen anyone that was out from under morphine. But as I said, people those days, they could not get over it, but they took it very sparingly. Because you see, your dose on morphine was from about an eighth to a quarter of a grain, which is a very small amount. When there are 480 grains in an ounce, and 16 ounces to a pound, you could see how the very small amount it would be that the people were taking. But they controlled themselves very well. But I think the people, young people of today, have no idea what it can do. That I think is what one thing. They're just not afraid of it. They don't have any idea of what it can do. And I think another thing, our parents were more strict than what parents are today. We didn't have the opportunities today to go. There wasn't such a thing as cars. You know, and so they just didn't have the opportunity to go the distance or go the different places. Their entertainments were different. Because, you know, your entertainment was right in town, and just today you go in the car to the next town. You don't stay in your own town. I think that has a lot to do with it, is the transportation. And as I say, they congregate in bigger and bigger crowds.
Schools were not consolidated. Schools were not consolidated. They were country schools.
Oh, no. They were country schools. And practically everybody went to country school except those, and you got through eighth grade. If you wanted to go to a high school, well, you either board in town or else had some way of getting there. There was no such thing as buses. Nobody could ever take you anywhere. You only your own transportation. And their high schools were not crowded. When my brother-in-law graduated, there was six or seven in a class. When I went to pharmacy school, there was 40. There was 52 in our class, but that included the whole, all of them that went there to school from all parts of Michigan. Your classes were not large, your schools were not large like they are today. We all went to country schools. That isn't with today. When you have your consolidated schools, your classes are so large, so many of them in a class.
You get exposed to a lot more things than what you did then.
Okay. What were some of the differences of that time between like cities like Chesling and like Saginaw as far as drugs go, use? Was there any difference in the drugs they used? I mean, how heavy?
Like in Saginaw, was there more drugs used, more addictions, than there was like in Chesning?
A
was
small
there,
town.
In a small town. Was there a difference between the large towns and the small towns?
I doubt if there was. You didn't hear of it very often. It would be just like I say, just because of, through a sickness. Because
or an accident.
Or an accident where they were hurt and were given it for pain. And then their system got used to it. They could live without. And for some reason or other, they just didn't have the places to put them. They didn't have no such a thing as hospitals and things to put them to get them over it either, or they would use something, you know, to counteract it and slowly get them over it, that they just remained that way. But there were so few too that really, you know, then they just didn't work on it.
Now these people that were addicted, they held down jobs.
They worked their job just the same. They had business and everything just the same as anybody. It didn't affect them in the way like they do the drug today, because they didn't use much of it. They merely kept, they just took what they absolutely had to, and it did not affect them in any way in their life. You wouldn't know it. Only, as I said, when I seen this one person out of it, But otherwise, you wouldn't know, wouldn't realize people were on it, because they would run the business, they would have business places or work out in other places. And this one lady, she was sewing all the time. She was making garments for the hospital in Saginaw. She would, you know, they, it didn't affect their life. It probably did their, in some ways, their personal life, but not very, but you wouldn't know it. Otherwise, if you've seen them, you would never know that they were addicted to anything.
Describe the use of nicotine or cigarettes at the time.
What's that?
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes or nicotine at that time.
The drug nicotine.
Well, they said and told that it was not good for anybody, but they didn't try to stop smoking or anything, or didn't educate the people that it was harmful. And except if somebody, you know, would say so to somebody else, and then just personally, but they didn't advertise it, or perhaps they used to say there was more poison in the wrapper than there was anything else. The people, they just were not educated against those things. They had no way of knowing, I guess. That's the only way I would say, you know, they didn't pay any attention to it, because they didn't talk against smoking and that like they do today. Or
were there cigarettes then, or just cigars and pipe tobacco?
No, there were cigarettes.
Okay.
Cigarettes, and more pipe smoking than there is today. But perhaps your cigarettes did not contain the same thing as they do today either. Your tobaccos might have been treated different or cured different. Today everything is advertised to sell, and it's changed to change the as I say, the taste of it.
Can you tell me anything about the use of alcohol as an addictive drug, alcohol?
Well, there always has been some drinking, but not as much either as today, but there always has been some. I guess I've always had, as long as I can remember, there's always been some that have been drinkers. And not because that they were told that the alcohol is abusive, it's just simply because they made the habit of going to a saloon. And to those days, why, the saloons were for men only. You know what I mean? You've never seen a woman going into one, they were just the men. And women, you didn't hear about women drinking those days either, but very, very few, in excess.
Okay, describe a little bit more about the pharmaceutical that you went to.
You want to know some more about the school that you went to?
Oh, well, as I say, we went...
You had one professor.
One professor that taught all. As I said, we had school from 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and 6 days a week. And then we wrote the state exam. I don't know if they write a state exam today. I don't think so. I think they graduate from college with their degree in pharmacy.
They still have to be licensed, though.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you did, too. And you had to go to Grand Rapids to write the state...
Yes, you went to Grand Rapids to write your state exam. From they all came, you know, to the same place to write your state exam. And then when you wrote your state exam, if you caught cheating at all, or even if you tried to help somebody else, that was it. You were done for that whole exam. You'd have to go back to school. They were very strict about things like that. And as I say, but now they have to go to college longer, much longer. But we as I said before, you had to have your 4 years of experience before. Or you could, if you had 2 years experience, you wrote on an assistant exam. Or I mean, if you passed for a certain mark, it was for an assistant, a pharmacist, not a pharmacist. But if you had 4 years of experience, then you could write the full exam.
Now they learn many more things than just the drugs, though. I think they learn psychology and all this stuff.
Well, they have much more. That's why I say these those that had been to other schools and then came there had said, well, they didn't learn anything, only drugs. But in that other places, like I say, learned salesmanship and decorating and store decorating and window decorating and showcase and things like that, where we learned nothing but just drugs.
No management, no nothing like that.
Huh?
No management or anything.
Nothing.
Like...
No management or anything. It was just...
How many people were like in a classroom? How many students were there in a typical classroom?
Were you all in one classroom?
All in one classroom.
How many?
There was 52 in there, where I went.
Was that an average, you know, for every class?
Well, he had one class in the fall, and he had another one towards spring. He had two classes a year.
And they were usually about the same size?
Yeah, they were usually about that same amount. That when I went, there was six ladies, but that was the most girls or ladies that had ever taken the exam. And there were six of us, of the ladies. The rest, you know, were all young men.
And the young men wore suits?
Huh?
They wore suits to class every...
Yes, that's another thing. Your boys or men were always dressed in suits and shirts and ties. They were always well-dressed.
For class?
Yeah, in class, yes. No matter where you met, in class, they were all... wore their suits and other things, and light shirts and ties.
Okay.
You have any other?
Okay, I have two more.
Another question. Hmm? He's got another question.
Oh.
Okay, describe typical family life of that time. You know, typical family.
What was family life like? A typical family.
Oh, well, as I say, they didn't have the transportation. People had their entertainment at home. And that's why I think there was more family life than there is today, because, you know, there wasn't the entertainments. Oh, Chesney had a skating rink, of course, and movies, but I mean, it wasn't every night or anything like that. And you didn't go out of town like that because... There wasn't, well, there was cars, there were a few cars. As I said too, everybody around done their buying in town because they didn't drive a long way because they just didn't have the way to go. They bought their, as I said, they bought their groceries in a grocery store and the meat in the meat market and baked goods in a bakery and drugs in a drugstore. They now to one place handles most everything. Every kind of store, I mean, has a variety.
One person in the family worked.
Yes, mothers didn't work those days, unless they didn't have any family at all, but they stayed at home and took care of the children. There was no such a thing as mothers working. If the young people were married, they expected the wife to stay at home.
Today, do you think the absence of both parents in the home is a contributor to the use of drugs?
Well, I'm sure it is a harm to the children. To have babysitters or to go to a... The children have a different bringing up than they do. And the parents are working. They have a different attitude to the children because they're tired too. And after all, if they're working, that should come first. That's what they're hired for, is for their work. But I'm definitely sure that it does make a lot of difference. with the children. And the children are more on their own. They're out in the evenings than they are, you know, where it was at those times. Because when the parents were home, well, they usually, until a certain age, there was no such a thing as teenagers. You were a little child or you were a grown-up. There wasn't the children of that age was not on their own.
Okay. Going back into your career as a pharmacist, who or what inspired you to become a pharmacist?
What's that?
Who or what inspired you to become a pharmacist, and as a career?
How come you went to work at the drugstore?
Well, I went to work in the first place. The first place I worked for the first year, I didn't do anything about drugs. I just went as a job. You know, I just went as a young person to offer a job. But then when I had the second place, when I worked to Smith, he just said, well, why don't you take up pharmacy? Why don't you? So under naturally, then I worked under him and studied, you know, to love drugs and prescriptions and things. And when I started out, no, I didn't start out to be a pharmacist. I just went out to work because I wanted a job.
Did you work at the other place while you were going to high school?
No. The other drugstore?
Yeah.
No, it was after I was through school.
Okay.
Okay, that's all I can think of right now.
We were married in 23. And then I worked just now and then part-time until 52, until when you were married.
Was it that long?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
When I was first working, they would turn out the streetlights at 12 o'clock. Could you imagine what would happen to Chesney today if you turn out the streetlights at 12 o'clock? They had their own power plant, and so until consumers came in there, well, they had their own power plant, and they would turn off the streetlights at 12 o'clock.
When did you become a pharmacist? What year?
1920.
Did anyone in your family before you, had they been a pharmacist, or anyone in your family history?
None before, none after.
Interview ended at 2:45.